Listen to The Cost of Color wherever you get your podcast. But don't just listen. Like or follow us on your favorite podcast platform, such as Apple, Pandora, Spotify, and so much more. Every case that appears on The Cost of Color can also be viewed on our website, thecostofcolor.com. There, you will find additional details related to the cases featured on the show. And now, let's get into our investigation.
In 2020, more than 100,000 women of color went missing. At least 4 black women and girls were murdered per day in the United States. Most of those cases are still unsolved. These are their stories.
Hi, listeners. I'm your host, LB. Riddle me this. A woman never returns home from her shift at work, so her family reports her missing. That same young woman walks into the police station to ask that the missing person alert is canceled. So how is it possible that it has been 7 years and her family still has not seen or spoken to her? Take this journey with me as I tell you the story of Calandra Stallworth. Thirty-year-old Calandra Stallworth had a routine. When she had to go to work, she would take her 2 daughters to the house right next door, where thankfully, her village lived. Her grandmother Joan was actually her next door neighbor and babysitter. So once Calandra would take the girls next door, she would take the 45-minute drive from Crestview, Florida, to the Hilton Sedestin Resort in Miramar, Florida, where she worked as a housekeeper. When her shift was over, Calandra would call her grandmother to let her know that she was on her way home. She would scoop the girls up from her grandmother and head next door to settle in for the night. That was Calandra's routine. March 27, 2017. Calandra's routine started like any other. She dropped the girls off with her grandmother. She went to work. And when her shift was over, she called her grandmother to let her know that she was on her way home. But an hour comes and goes, and there is no sign of Calandra. 2 hours come and go, but Calandra never arrives at her grandmother's house. Her mother and her grandmother instinctively know that something is wrong because Calandra just does not deviate from her schedule, especially when it involves picking up her daughters. And the Stallworth women do not mess around, okay? Because they know that if Calandra never returned home, something must have happened. So, that very same day, on March 27th, Calandra's mother, Sheila, goes to the Crestview Police Department to file a missing person report for her daughter. Once Sheila files the police report, the Stallworth family begin their own search for Calandra. And while the Stallworth family is moving full steam ahead in their search, back at Crestview Police Department, the missing person case for Calandra, well, it's already been solved. The Stallworths are head down in their own search when 2 days after being reported missing, on March 29th, Calandra walks into the Crestview Police Department and she tells the officer at the front desk who she is and that she's not missing. She tells police that she's actually been on vacation with her boyfriend in Alabama. The police ask her why she hasn't made contact with her family, and she has an answer for that too. She tells police that she couldn't call anyone because her phone did not have a signal. Now, I could very well be alone in this thought, but are there no cell phone towers in the entire state of Alabama? To be fair, Florida and Alabama are neighbor states, so it's extremely common to go back and forth between the two. And while it seems odd to me, I guess this is a plausible enough answer, because at Calandra's request, the police cancel her missing person report. The very same day that Calandra shows up at the police station to tell them about her impromptu vacation, another young girl from Crestview named Talia Durham is also being reported missing by her family. This second missing person report is important, so put a feather in that for one moment. The police shift their focus from one missing person case to another. I mean, they've solved Calandra's case, right? So they begin working on Talia's case. But before they can completely shift their focus to Talia, the final step to close out Calandra's case is to notify the Stallworth family. And so they reach out to Calandra's mother, Sheila, and they tell her, listen, your daughter is fine. She just left the police station, and she's actually been on vacation with her boyfriend. Well, the police may buy this story, but that's because they don't know Calandra, and nothing about this is sitting right with Sheila. I mean, let's start with this random vacation. Calandra was super responsible when it came to her girls. And to go on this spur of the moment vacation, on a Monday no less, was just so out of character for her. But you know me, I frequently take detours down crazy lane. So let's entertain this vacation for a moment, shall we? The moment she steps back into Crestview, Florida from this getaway, knowing that her phone has been out of service for 2 days, she doesn't make a beeline for her family to let them know that she's okay. Her family, who up until 2 days ago she spoke to every single day. Not to mention that she's been without a phone, yet somehow she knows she has been reported missing and heads straight to the police station to cancel her missing person alert. Got it. Sounds right to me. Crazy Lane is clearly the right place to be, and her family is just as confused as I am, because as soon as Calandra leaves the police station, she disappears into thin air. She never makes an attempt to contact her family. She never shows up to see her girls. Nothing. There is no word from quote-unquote Calandra once she leaves CPD. Even though the police are telling Sheila that everything is okay, the family still has so many questions and concerns, because 4 days have passed and Calandra has still made no attempts at all to contact them. You have the same burning question that I do, right? Did the police view their own video footage in order to verify if this truly was Calandra that walked into their precinct to cancel her own missing person alert? I don't find any record of CPD verifying this. And the only conclusion that I can come up with is that small police stations like CPD may not have an abundant amount of room to store old videos. More than likely, their video feed is on a constant loop, and after so many days, it will record over the data in order to keep reusing the same tape. But as innocent as all of that may be, it would be just one more obstacle blocking their way to finding Calandra. And so, on April 2nd, Sheila returns to CPD and files another missing person report. Now at this point, Calandra has been reported missing twice in the span of 7 days. But this time, the family offers up another piece of the puzzle, because as part of Calandra's routine, her boyfriend Antoine Smith would drive her to work and then pick her up at the end of her shift. And no one has seen or talked to Antoine either. Add to that, Calandra's silver Saturn has not been spotted since she left work on March 27th. That is, until on the very same day that Sheila reports Calandra missing for a second time, her car now has a BOLO alert, and wouldn't you know it, about 30 minutes away in Destin, Florida, a silver Saturn matching Calandra's car is pulling out of a Motel 6. There's a man driving, and he has a female passenger. Police immediately pull the car as it exits the hotel, and the man driving is 34-year-old Antoine Smith, Calandra's boyfriend for the past 3 years. And beside him in the passenger seat? Well, it's not Calandra. Remember we talked about a second woman being reported missing? Well, that young woman is 18-year-old Talia Durham, and she is the woman in the car with Antoine. Once police realize that the female in the car is not Calandra, they start to ask Antoine all sorts of questions, starting with, where's Calandra? And I'm sure in Antoine's mind, his response made sense. But out loud, it sounds just as crazy as fake Calandra telling the police she went on a spur of the moment vacation without her kids. Antoine tells police that once he picked Calandra up from work on the 27th, he dropped her off at her new boyfriend's house. The problem with that answer is that Antoine is super vague on the details. He can't tell police who this new boyfriend is. He can't tell them his name. He can't even tell police an exact location of where he dropped Calandra off. My very own personal question to Antoine is that if she has a new man, why the hell would she continue to let you drive her car? But I'm clearly not in law enforcement for a reason. Thankfully, the police aren't buying this she's with her new man story either, and now they have grounds to search the car. And what they find is enough to cause concern for Calandra and her safety. Inside the car are Calandra's purse and her cell phone. There's no sign of Calandra, but the things that she would need to survive in this day and age are both sitting inside of her vehicle. Finding Calandra's purse is extremely alarming because she takes insulin on a daily basis, and so being without her medication is very dangerous for her well-being. Now that the police have discovered Calandra's personal belongings, they pepper Antoine with questions. But at this point, Antoine is clammed up, and he's no longer talking. No matter how many questions the police ask or how many different ways they ask them, Antoine is not answering any more questions related to Calandra. But that's okay, because in addition to finding Calandra's personal belongings, they also find cocaine and marijuana. And Antoine is arrested and charged with possession, driving without a license, as well as a probation violation. And let's be real, if the law worked the way that it should, He should have sex offender charges because, come on, a 30-something-year-old man leaving a motel with a barely 18-year-old child? And I get it. The number 18, barely or not, makes her legal. But today's 18-year-olds don't even know how to write in cursive, yet they're allowed to hang out with men twice their age in hotel rooms? So while one family is rejoicing that their daughter was found, where does this leave the Stallworth family? Their baby girl is still missing, and Antoine clearly has no plans to help them find her. But whether he helps or not, the Stallworths are convinced that Antoine had a hand in whatever happened to Calandra. They felt that during their relationship, Antoine was controlling, and they even had a hunch that he was also abusive. And they're not wrong, because just 3 short years after Calandra's disappearance, Antoine, he's charged with 2 counts of murder. On Thursday, October 8th, 2020, Ryan Frazier and Joshua Carroll arrive in Pensacola, Florida for work. The men were from Seattle, Washington, and worked as linemen, which meant that they traveled all over the country to lay fiber optic cable lines. This particular job, in October of 2020, took them to the Panhandle State. Although they arrived in Florida, they would start their first job in Alberta, Alabama. Remember, Florida and Alabama are neighbors that share a coastline. I mean, the distance from Pensacola, Florida to Alberta, Alabama is only about 20 or 25 minutes. So the plan is for the linemen to work, eat, sleep in Pensacola while they lay cable in the surrounding areas. None of my research says if Ryan and Joshua have ever been in this area before, but on Friday, October 9th, they decide to partake in recreational drugs. Again, it's unclear if this is someone they've had dealings with in the past, but my gut says no, because the person they decide to score drugs from is none other than Antoine Smith. Ryan and Joshua meet Antoine on Baldwin County Road 95, which is just south of Alberta. It's not clear if Antoine ever intended to complete the drug transaction, because when he pulls up to the meeting spot, he shoots both Ryan and Joshua and leaves them there on the side of the road, and he flees the scene. The bodies are found pretty quickly, and the next day, Saturday, October 9th, the police engage in a high-speed chase with Antoine. During the chase, Antoine hits 2 vehicles and then crashes into a brick retaining wall where he's then captured. In the vehicle that Antoine was driving, they find a firearm, drugs, cash, ammunition, a significant amount of blood. And they also find Ryan Frazier's wallet. Oh, did I leave that out? Ryan's wallet was in the car because the car that Antoine was captured in was Ryan Frazier's. I feel like I've heard this story before. Antoine being found in the car that does not belong to him with a missing or endangered person's belongings. It's unclear if Antoine offers up any type of motive for the killings. Was it a drug deal gone bad? Did Antoine think they were trying to rob him and so he decided to quote unquote defend himself? I don't know. But now, he is facing capital murder charges for their deaths, which in Alabama could be life in prison or even the death penalty. This may bring some solace to Ryan and Joshua's families, but the Stallworth family, and more importantly, Calandra's daughters, Josiah and Zamira, they have been left with so many unanswered questions. Zamira was 9 years old when her mother went missing. She'll turn 16 this year. That's a critical year for her getting her license, dating, going to proms, all things that she deserves to share with her mother. And they have been taken away from both her and her sister, Josiah. And look it, Crestview, Florida is not some huge city. The 2020 census reported just over 27,000 people living there. Calandra's daughter, her mom Sheila, and even the young woman who was spotted in Calandra's car back in 2017, Talia, they all still live in the area. At this point, Talia is not that much older than Zamira or Jazzy. It's possible that they can share some of the same friends and hang out in the same places. And she can potentially hold the key piece of information that they need in order to understand where their mother is. So my final message is to Talia. This weight on your shoulders can go away. The cloud of suspicion that follows you when you go in the store can go away if you just speak up. Do I think you were involved in anything that may have happened to Calandra? Absolutely not. That responsibility lies solely with one person, in my opinion. But I do think that he confided in you the who, what, where, and why. And that is the information that you need to share with authorities. No one blames you for anything that Antoine chose to do. I mean, you can't control the actions of a grown man, but you do control whether you choose to stay silent or not. That choice falls solely on you. Even though you may have been with Antoine willingly back in 2017, when you were pulled over by the cops, think of how close you were to the same fate as Calandra had you said or did the wrong thing while in his presence. Think about your family and how not knowing where you were or whether or not you were okay would have torn them apart. Is it fair for any family to suffer through that? You were gone a few days and your family was already notifying the police and out trying to find you. Can you imagine where your family would be if it was 7 years later and they still did not know where you were or if you were safe? They wouldn't stop looking for you, whether it was 7 days or if 7 years had passed. Would you want that kind of life for your family? They wouldn't feel whole again until you were found, which essentially puts their lives on hold, almost like they're holding their breath until they would be able to see you again. That same sort of turmoil and anguish is what the Stallworth family is feeling every single day until they know what happened to Calandra. And you are the only person with a conscience that can help take that away. Please say something to me, to the authorities, or even directly to the Stallworth family. But I am asking that you do not let another 7 years pass. Calandra does not deserve it. Zamira and Jazzy and Sheila do not deserve it. If anyone has information about this case, please contact the CPD's Criminal Investigations Division at 850-682-2055 or contact Emerald Coast Crime Stoppers anonymously at 850-863-TIPS. For more information about this case, visit us at thecostofcolor.com and you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. If you have information about this case and you are uncomfortable talking to the authorities, then talk to me. You don't know me, but my word is my bond, and you will remain anonymous. You have my word that by contacting me, you have a safe and judge-free zone to tell me what you know. Email me at coldcases@thecostofcolor.com. The Cost of Color is a 1602 production.